Grace and peace to you, brothers and sisters. It is a privilege to be able to meet you all on the screen and then spend time in the Word together. I would like to talk tonight about a passage that is very familiar to all of us. That will be in Matthew 16, Matthew 16, verse 18. And then we'll be looking at verse 13 all the way down to verse 18, you know, just to get to see the setting of the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. Okay, so the title of our study tonight will be, as you all know, this passage is about the declaration that the Lord made when he said, "I will build my church." So this is what we'll be talking about a little bit. Actually, I'm thinking about having a few sessions, probably four sessions on this study. So this is going to be like the introduction to it and the very first session where we'll see how the Lord made that declaration and who made that declaration. When I say who, I know it is the Lord Jesus Christ who was speaking. But I want to go a little deeper on the who made that very, very important declaration, okay? So may the Lord help us to understand this text better, open our eyes, and may the Lord give us clarity and use the words of our mouth to edify one another and to glorify his name on this passage. Well, let us read Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. Now, it started like this. When Jesus was coming into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a question. He said to them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then they said to him, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah, you know, and then or one of the prophets." Now, in verse 16, he asked the question more personally to the disciples, and he asked, "Who do you say that I am? Like, what about you? What do you think about me? Who do you think that I am?" So Simon Peter, who often, you know, speak for the group, he stepped up and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Okay. So Jesus right away answered to him and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." It is a very well-known passage. The church has studied this before. I mean, our church, Pastor Wei has taught, you know, on this verse before, you know, many other pastors. As I know, so we're not here to reinvent the wheel, to teach anything new, but we would like to meditate on the passage together, you know, in a few sessions, and then, you know, to be able to edify one another on the things that we may have forgotten on this passage, okay? So let's go. Now, the Lord said to Peter, I'll start from verse 16. Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Son of the living God. And then based on this declaration, the Lord answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." When Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," I'm not going to stay on this declaration too much, but look at this term Peter used, which is the Son of the living God. It is not a new, like, it is not something Peter came up with, you know, right on the spot. It's been a term that's been used in the Old Testament, but sometimes you read it lightly and then you miss the point. The term Son of the living God feels like this: you are the Son of the living God. As if there are other gods, but they are dead. Does that make sense? So you are the son of the living God. So this is more like a term that people have used, you know, Israel and the prophets, and then all the way even started from Moses and everything. They have used that term in the Old Testament, even in the Psalms, to say the God of Israel, he's a living God. He's not like the idols, the little gods with lowercase g of the other nations that are like idols. They have no mouth. They have mouth that can't speak. They have eyes that can't see, things like that. So they have ears and they can't hear. So the God, Peter says, he is the living God, Jehovah. His point is referring to Jehovah. He says to the Lord, you are the anointed one, the son of Jehovah, the God of Israel, the living God. Okay, so it is very important to see that. So Peter knew exactly what he was saying. And the term he used is well known to all of them in the Old Testament. That's why he said, you are the son of Jehovah. You are the anointed one. Okay, so now the Lord said to Peter, as if he said, oh, did you say that I am the son of Jehovah? And then he said, my father revealed this to you. You couldn't have said that on your own. My father revealed this to you. Did you just say that I am the son of Jehovah? Okay, I say this on purpose, okay? The fact that he said, for example, okay, as if he said, did you just say, Peter, that I am the son of Jehovah? Keep this in your mind. So you're talking about a declaration of power, authority, and then you're talking about a declaration of eternal divine decree, and then also a declaration, I would even say, of holiness, okay, of great power. This is one of them. When the Lord says, on this rock, I will build my church. And then he adds to it and says, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's powerful. That's very powerful. So I always think, I've thought about that declaration, you know, back in the years, you know, when I used to be struggling with churches, you know, that were not biblical, and thinking about how the church should be more biblical and things like that. The good shepherd, you know, the Christ, the shepherd of the church and everything, the head of the church. So I used to think about this passage. A mere man cannot make such a declaration to say, I will build my church. And then to add more to it, to say the gates of Hades shall not prevail against this church that I'm going to build. Okay, so it is a powerful declaration. And we'll see all of that. His authority, his eternal and divine decree, you know, hand in hand with his redeeming work in the church and his power. And then things like that, okay? And also, we should see the responsibility of the church. If the Lord has built a church, or if he's building his church, the church should have a certain response to the author, to the person, the master, the head of the church. Okay, so let's keep on going. And the Lord says to Peter, on this rock, and he says, you are Peter, which is to say, your name is Stone, little stone, right, Peter? And he says, so in the same manner, on this rock, you know, you all know that, you know what that means. That is to say, on this solid truth, on this solid revelation, my father told you that, he put that in your mouth, on this solid revelation that you've just had, on this rock bed, revelation, I will build my church. Not on Peter, as you know, the Roman Catholic might say the church is built on Peter. Peter is the foundation, da da da. So he's saying on this bedrock revelation and truth, my church will be built. What is the bedrock revelation? Did you just say that I am the son of Jehovah? I am the master of the church, and I will build my church. So that's what it is. Okay, so. So, and I say this on purpose when I said, did you just say that I am? So now let us see in a more biblical way, who's speaking? That's a question with an easy answer, right? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. I mean, the I in that phrase, the I, who's the I? The person who says, I will build my church. So we know he's the Son of God, and Peter said that, okay? Also, we see that John the Baptist says that. Okay, John the Baptist saw him in on John the Baptist was, you know, about to baptize the Lord and things like that, and the Lord came to John the Baptist, and then I'll read in that'd be in Matthew. In John chapter 1, verse 34. Okay, he was coming, and John the Baptist says, "This is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." That's the end of verse 33. In 34, John 1, 34, and John said, "And I have seen and testified," very important word, "that this is the Son of God." And right down ahead, 35, verse 35, he kept on speaking. He said, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus, he walked, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then again, verse 41, we see Andrew, or Simon Peter's brother, in verse 41, he first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. So I'll say Peter didn't come up with that term, okay? John the Baptist already said he is, at the very beginning of the Lord's ministry, he said he is the Son of God. He said he is the Lamb of God. Now we see in the account of Andrew, you know, talking to his brother, he said, "We have found the Messiah," from the Son to the Lamb of God to the Messiah, the which is translated the Christ. And then the later on, we see the same words came out of the mouth of Nathaniel, another one. He didn't know who Christ was. You know, when Philip found him and saw him under the fig tree and, you know, brought him to the Lord, and the Lord saw him come and he said, "Oh, this is, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." And Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And the Lord told Nathanael, "When you were standing under the fig tree, even before Philip called you under the fig tree, I saw you." And now Nathanael was, you know, he was shocked and marveled by the omniscience and omnipresence of the Lord. How come he saw me over there while he was here and things like that? All of these things were in his mind. And he said, "Really?" He said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God." And he added to it and said, "You are the King of Israel." So now we see, just in a few passages, we see he's been called the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. Again, repeated by Nathaniel, the Son of God and the King of Israel. Okay, very important. So, who's speaking here? That's what I want to. It's the Son of God speaking, and he's also the Messiah that's speaking, and he's also the Lamb of God, and that means a lot. And he's also the King of Israel speaking here. And even Nathaniel's declaration. It is also, to me, it's like a divine revelation, because he was like marveled by the fact that the Lord knew where he was standing before he even came to him. He's like, "Who are you? You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Anyway, so he thought the Lord had the wisdom and knowledge to know who he was and where he was. So let's keep on going. There's another a very important term that is also used in the word, which is not only the King of Israel, but they call him also Son of David. So I choose names. We're not going over all the names of God, all the names of Christ, but I'm choosing these few names purposefully so we can get where we're going. So the term the Son of David, we've seen that the blind man who was sitting by the road, that is an account in Matthew 20, verse 31. Actually, I'm gonna start in verse 29 to 31. Now it says, "Now as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out. They said, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Matthew 20, verse 29 to 31. And then they tried to have the two blind men keep quiet, and they repeated the same thing as if they were certain of what they were saying. You know, they were sure he is who they were calling. Again, they repeat the same thing. "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David," even louder, with more certainty. And then the Lord, you know, stopped by and then healed him. And that was a great account. So this term, Son of David, we also see, we'll pick the verse in Luke 20, Luke chapter 20, where the Lord himself, Christ himself, is talking about that. And he said to them, he said, "Well, how can they say that Christ is the Son of David? Now, David himself said in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore," verse 44, "therefore David calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" Good question, right? So the Lord is not questioning this passage as if to say if it's true or not, but he's questioning it to show the people, to show his disciples to who he is in reality, like who is he? So he says, if David himself, in the time David was living, David had a Lord, like someone he calls Lord. I wouldn't say a Lord. David knew the Lord, and this person he called the Lord the whole time he'd been living. Does that mean, because no one knew that Christ was around, he wasn't around at David's time, I mean physically. So if David called him Lord, does that mean he was Lord over the life of David and he was sitting somewhere and lording over David as God the whole time? And now, if the word of God calls him Son of David, how do you reconcile the two? That's the question. So was he before David? Was he somewhere before David? And when David was there, he called him Lord. And now how come he gets to be also Son of David? The Lord can't be son of the person who's calling him Lord, okay? So good question. We'll leave it right there. Now let's go to a further passage that is also very important that we might see a little more. Now, in the account of John the Apostle in chapter 8, there was that confrontation between well, it is like a heated confrontation and conversation between the Lord and, you know, the Jews. Now we'll read. It is a longer passage. We'll try to go fast so we can keep it down to 30 minutes, okay? Now, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, he said to them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They 33, they answered to him, we are Abraham's descendant. And have you never been and have never been in bondage to anyone? How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. 36. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. 37. I know that you are sons of Abraham, you're descendants of Abraham, the Lord said, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered to him, Abraham is our father. Then Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. God is their father, okay? So now Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. But I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. So God sent him. So 43, they said, why do you not understand my speech? The Lord's asking, because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father. Now he reveals who he was saying is their father. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he's a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear me because you're not of God. 48, then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Okay? Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? That is exactly in our modern vernacular when someone says, who do you think you are? Who do you make yourself to be? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. 57. Okay, now things have started to be, you know, more serious. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Did you hear that? So this last phrase was like the trigger. He just pulled the trigger on them. The whole time he's been putting bullets on his gun. Then when he says, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Boom. That triggered it. And they almost stoned him for that sentence, for that declaration, for the fact that he said, I am. Because they know, they should know the term I am. Because they said, who do you think you are? You're not even 50 years old. What did you just say? You're not even 50 years old. So now the term I am, before Abraham was, I am. Now you see, even with David, when they call him the son of David, we'll go to Abraham, okay? Before they call him the son of David, he was the Lord of David. David called him Lord. And now he says with his own mouth, before Abraham was, when they say was, that's in time, someone who was, who is, and who's no more. Okay, that's time, past, present, and future. So before Abraham was in time, in the past, I am. The Lord does not use the term that the past tense for his for him to speak about himself. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. That's not what he said. And he's not going to say that. He said before Abraham was, I am. Because there's no was for him. When you're talking about his existence, I'm sorry, and his you know, his being there, he didn't use the past tense. He said, I am. So this term shows us now, oh, so before David was, he is. Same way. So now let's see in Exodus 3, okay, to close it up in Exodus 3. Now we see that in Exodus 3, in the conversation between Moses and the Lord God Almighty, when the Lord was talking to Moses and say, okay, Moses, I'm gonna send you before Pharaoh and things like that. And then what did Moses say? And to me, that was a fair question, okay? Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And the children of Israel say to me, what is his name? Like, what's the name of God? Like, you know, when he goes to Pharaoh and asks to let the people go, and now he goes to the children of Israel, you know, what is he going to answer? Like, who sent you? And then God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Did you hear that? I am. So God says, this is my name forever. If you keep on reading the rest of the verses, say, this is my name forever. I am has sent you. And this is the term for Yahweh has sent you. So when the Lord said to in John 8 to the Jews, before Abraham was, I am. That is Jesus speaking, okay? Before Abraham was, I am. And now God was speaking with Moses in Exodus 3, and he says, tell the children of Israel, I am has sent you. The same term, Yahweh. In both passages. So that is to say that Christ is speaking, and he said, I will build my church. He said to Peter, did you just say that I am the Son of the living God? Yes. So I will build my church. This I is the I am who declares, yes, I am. And I will build my church. Like answering to Peter, you're the Son of the living God. He could have said to Peter, yes, I am. That's the answer. He didn't say it that way, but that's the answer. Yes, Peter, I am. And the Father revealed this to you. And this I am, if you said, yes, Peter, I am, it would be like, I am the Son of the living God, but it would be like, I am Yahweh. The same one when he says, before Abraham was, I am. The same term that is used, tell the children of Israel, I am, I sent you, and that's my name forever. So Christ, who says, I will build my church, is the I am Yahweh, Jehovah, who's standing amongst them and said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So this is the rock on which the church is built, on the I am, on the Son of the living God. That I, that person, the Christ. So he's the Son of God. He's called the Son of God. He's called the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the Son of David, the God of Abraham, as you know, the God of Moses. He is the I am, the one who's before all things, before all things. And when we use that term before all things, we all know it in Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 16, 17. Okay. For by him all things were created. By him all things were created. Let me put that up. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And he says, 17, he says, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things consist. Okay. So that is Colossians 1 here. And in him, all things consist. So the person who's the creator of all things, the person who's before all things is the I am. That's the person speaking here to the Jews. So it is for me to say the term on this rock. And also we know the term, this term is used for God, doesn't it? Even in the Psalms. Not just this term on this rock. We know in Psalm 62, we see that term on the God is called the rock of my salvation. Okay, the rock of my salvation many, many times in the Psalms. Even David calls him like that, you know, the rock of ages, the rock of my salvation. And even the term the son of the living God, David used it too in Psalm 42. When he says in Psalm 42, am I right? Yeah, and he says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, and he says, so pants my soul for you, O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then he said, when shall I come and appear before God? So these are familiar terms to the Jews. So now we understand that he is the I am, the son of the living God. Let me say it that way. He is God, the son, standing in the midst of him, and who declares, I will build my church. So now that shows you the next step will be seeing the authority of the person who says, I will build my church. Okay, so we were trying to see the who of the passage, who was speaking. Next time we'll see the authority of the person who was speaking, the authority of Christ. And then we'll keep on going with the rest of the sessions, okay? So may the Lord bless you all, and may the peace of God be with you all.